Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for the nice introduction. I'm sure you've been through the press release already, as well as the presentation. I'm right here with Mr. La Terza and some other colleagues. So, of course, we'll be happy to gather your questions, welcome your questions in the end. Anybody who wants to submit a question, star sign followed by one on the keyboard. If you want to drop communications, it's the star sign followed by two. If you have a question to submit, you may press star sign followed by one now. First question from original channel is Elena Perini from Banca IMI. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I was wondering whether you could provide us, of course, I've been through the presentation and I've seen all the details relative to the other companies, non-life, but besides combined ratio from direct income, whether we can obtain that net, as well as the outlook for current year when it comes to non-life business. What do you expect in terms of the trend, and more specifically on prices for motor business? And where is it that you actually expect to grow more on non-motor? Also, if you can tell us where you expect to land on the combined ratio. I understand there's a business plan with a target, but perhaps you may expand on that and give us some more indications in light on this first few weeks of 2018. Okay, first question is relative to combined ratio net RIAS of small specialized companies, right? Yes, correct. Well, this is data which is not representing the business trend, as it is heavily being impacted by reinsurance contracts which are now existing amongst Unipol SAI and the specialized companies. So this is not a good representative piece of data as far as we are concerned. As far as your second question, when it comes to motor business, of course, I can tell you a little bit more about trends and what do we expect. Well, you might have noticed we're reporting a decrease of average premium by 2% approx. So decrease average rate, so it has been decreased over the year. We're now stabilizing. We're now aiming for a flatter average price as well as the overall portfolio. And this, again, is a piece of data that, in my view, should be reassuring. From a technical profitability point of view, last quarter 17 in terms of frequency and claims, it's been pretty good, and this is what I can say about motor business. For the non-motor business growth rate, which has proven to be more significant, it's actually been health division. But again, this is fully in line with business plan. We have performed very well with people and small, medium-sized companies altogether, especially through fractioned selling, so no major contract which are impacting the non-motor business altogether. And this is actually a trend that seems to be kind of going on for this first part of the year. I'd love to add on that a few considerations from my side, as well as market trends as well. As you may observe, current year, so talking through 2018, Let's start from the motor business first. So market has reported decrease in 2017, as it happened the year before. So let's say that we are actually expecting to reverse the trend in terms of market policies. But this is something that we will be observing in the next few months. So when it comes to our target for 2018, well, we have equipped ourselves through a new strategy. Through a strategy that means to be very cautious, very prudent, especially considering market, as I said. Such strategy, which we have confirmed for current year as well, which started off in 2017, this, although income statement, and I'm sure you'll be asking this question, 150 million and in the consolidated net result, Unipol SAI, 140 and 100. So basically, Unipol and Unipol SAI, they're actually reporting overlapping results in the income statement. That said, we've been very cautious, very prudent, again, when it comes to the gross operating margin, which is higher than the market average. And this should allow us, for current year as well, to still preserve quite a good target in terms of combined ratio, and that is actually sitting now in our business plan. That is the target. You asked about non-life. The one growing the most is definitely health, the health division, and we have grown very nicely. We expect to grow even further on people segment, so accident, family. And we expect that to be the case throughout this current year. Thank you. Thank you so much. The next question from Italian Conference, Gianluca Ferrari, Mediobanca. Please submit your question. Good morning, everyone. I've got three questions. First of all, update on gross cash Unipol after cashing linear health as well as the guarantee agreement. My second question is a curiosity. From a regulatory viewpoint, Unipol Group, can you still buy shares from Unipol SAI? Is there a threshold in terms of maximum shares? Or you can just keep on buying shares with no specific threshold? That was second question. Third question is about the dividend payout. Unipol SAI, there has been quite a good speed up. And if we expect 2018 to be the same as 2017, Unipol SAI is 1.2 billion, whereas we don't see the same speed up on Unipol Group, and it's again aligned with the 400 million, which is in the target in your business plan. I would like to understand what is the underlying ratio these two different policies, if you can. Thank you. So now, your first question. End of the year, we have 1.4 billion, so close to 1.5 billion cash, Unipol Group, so as a group, and that is our cash scenario. As far as your curiosity, number two, well, we have no thresholds, actually. There are no limit whatsoever. There are no thresholds. And meaning that from a regulatory viewpoint, there's no threshold that we shall not overcome. So when it comes to your question and to your curiosity, we just abide by law. And the law actually does not set any threshold. So we may buy tomorrow up until 100%, and we may sell 20% tomorrow, just like that. And this is fully aligned, fully compliant with law. As far as the dividend, your question number 3, while I'm answering the question, perhaps it makes sense to set the context. The group, Unipol, because you work in a bank, so of course you absolutely are fully aware of the banking business. So in Unipol Group, we have experienced the case where company was providing additional coverage 80%, which is not such an usual figure, especially when it comes to bad loans, you know, to companies. And the reason why, well, we've done it without asking money to the market, as it has been kind of a habit from the entire banking business, banking department over the last few years, continuously asking for additional capital. So not only we haven't asked for money, but we actually kept the same dividend payout as last year. Now, besides my words, I would say numbers are saying it all. So it would have been perhaps normal not to have any payout whatsoever, but instead we want to keep, although we've experienced extraordinary operations, so we just fully want to abide by our business plan and our commitment. And so we showed combined ratio and overall results. We have a target, 1 billion dividend as Unipol SAI, which we will pay out, most likely. And the 400 million from Unipol Group, which will hit again. Now, going beyond these numbers, these figures, considering the coverage without asking money to shareholders, well, I believe it seems to me that it already says it all. Thank you very much. So the next question from Italian Conference, from Nicola Dalla Palma, from PNB Paribas. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Follow up to the last piece of answer to understand the new dividend. Is that something that you expect to preserve and to keep next year, or main target is the 1 billion which has been accumulated over the 3-year plan has announced? Another question is non-life provision. If we may be communicated what has happened throughout the year, and perhaps what is the what's the forecast for the third party liability for the TPL. I'd love to see whether that improvement that we're currently observing is that due to what? So what is that number based on the banking business? Can you tell us about the good bank, some pro forma data in the quarter 1 standalone, So Good Bank standalone, tangible equity, risk-weighted assets. So if you can tell us a little bit about it. Or maybe that those numbers are somewhere and I haven't seen it. So it is somewhere and I haven't seen it. So the target, as far as your first question, is as per business plan. And we will see what results are going to be like in 2018. And, of course, in the end, we'll make up our mind about the dividend payout decision. And we had provided already an indication in terms of payout. Talking through 70% payout, which is what we did this year. So we'll wait for results again, end of this year. The target is to hit those targets and overcome and going far and beyond, if market conditions allow that. Also, in terms of capital solidity, the regulatory capital solidity, so the regulatory equity, we're now above 200% Unipol-SAI and 160% Unipol Group. So they appear to be conditions allowing to pay out dividend, which we mean to do. If those conditions are being reconfirmed, of course, we will not change our behavior whatsoever in terms of dividend payout, of course. So back to your provisions, non-life. Well, motor, I said it, 150 million. I said it already. On TPL, 100 million, and on other is another 100 million. And these numbers refer back to 2017. As far as the banking, well, you mentioned the Good Bank. Want to know more about it? This is a pro forma as at December 31st. So this is pro forma data as at 31st December. So is 1066 set 1 CET 1, and you asked me about if that's possible tangible equity and risk weighted assets. So is it possible for me to have net equity, so tangible equity and risk weighted assets? So first one is 540 million and RWA is 5 billion. Okay. So if I may, one very last question from my side about ARCA on the joint venture. Clearly, you had spoken about your intentions to stick to follow to the same journey as you've done for linear, unilinear and else. I was wondering time-wise whether you can anticipate something or shall we still be patient and wait? Well, yeah, the project would foresee transfer of the insurance activities under the direct control of Unipol-SAI, and that is still the case. So ARCA, as I said last year, is transfer is subordinated to contract renewals of bank reassurance, and that has happened November last. So over the year, because of course we will have to obtain IVAS authorizations, but that is going to be an operation transaction which will happen by year end. I'm not sure whether it will be before June, but for sure it will be by end of 2018. Thanks a lot. Next question is from Giuseppe Mapelli from Equita. I have one question only, and that has to do with the state of the bank, considering evolutions from banking business over the last 3 months, whether you can tell us what's the state of the art in terms of future strategy for the bank. So the second semester 2017, as observed, a number of activities and operations going on to switch, to shift to what we call Unipol REC today. So we heavily worked on that. And we've made a number of adjustments and round up, so for the bank to start in a clean state. So just the UTP portfolio and the unlikely to pay, and that is because those contracts could not be transferred to the bad bank. So actually, the bank, it is starting now to operate as it were a startup bank in a way, if you allow me to compare it. So a new era is just starting with that bank. The objective, goal, is to become increasingly profitable. And this is what we expect to happen. And of course, all of our people are fully committed on that, our banking people. To speak more generally about the future strategy, that, of course, it does not depend upon us exclusively. It does depend upon the market conditions and the market scenario. While I was answering a different question earlier on from Gianluca, we have cleaned up as much as we could in a very complete fashion the bank. So REC is directly controlled by Unipol, and now we're starting on that as well. And of course, we will provide a full reporting on that in the next quarters about what REC will be doing. So it does not depend upon us only. Nowadays, the group is controlling the bank, which is heavily impacted by interest rate trends as well as the overall economy trend. That kind of goes without saying. As I've always said, few times, so we might actually aggregate bank as well, potentially. We still don't know whether this will be the case, but it goes without saying that out there on the market, there are many scenarios where banks are not as clean as our bank has now become. So before we actually being incorporated in a different group where we do not actually know about the quality of loans, we want to understand exactly what is the potential of that company that might incorporate the bank, sorry. So also considering the European Central Bank, there are some indications that are now being provided. We're obviously observers and see what's going to happen as we're still waiting for some newer indications and see whether we'll be able to find some suitable partners in terms of risk profile. And that has to be a similar risk profile as Unipol Bank. That is our strategy. No more questions, right? From you, Giuseppe? I don't know. I got kind of lost. I apologize. No, I'm okay. I'm okay. Thank you very much.
Next question is from conference in English, Peter Elliott, Kepler Cheuvreux.
Thank you very much. The first question, I just wanted to, I hope you could explain why the life result was a little bit light. From my conversation with IR this morning, I understand it's related to some extraordinary commission payments and some real estate write-downs, but I was wondering if you could just give us a bit more color there. Secondly, on the non-life, I'm sorry, I might be repeating a question that was asked in Italian, but I was wondering if you could quantify the reserve releases. Sorry if that was your answer to Nicola's question, and that was 150 million, but perhaps if you could confirm and also say what the sort of the split Q4 and the rest of the year. And finally, last question, just looking at the economic capital, your SCR seems to have reduced by about 10% across the quarter for Unipulsi. I mean, there's been big movements across the year, but 10% across the quarter for Unipulsi, but there seems to be no reduction for Unipul. I was just struggling to understand the difference in those moving parts. I wonder if you could explain. Thank you.
Okay, let me start from the last one. Unipol Sai and Unipol. One has improved, the other one hasn't. Unipol Group, there are some risk diversifications which Unipol Sai is not affected by. Reason is, for current year, Unipol Group had linear and other. So variations, Unipol Sai, when it comes to risk, of course, they do not coincide because of a difference with Unipol Group. Next year, because Unipol Sai will hold control of both ALF as well as Linear, and also ARCA for a portion of the year, at that point it would be reasonable to say that solvency variations for Unipol Sai, they will most likely coincide with Unipol Group. As far as the non-life, you were asking once again about the reserve release. So absolute value, once again, is 150 million on TPL and 200 on other branches, on other businesses. In the last quarter, motor, over 130 million. I seem to remember on RCG, I'm looking for that right now, just bear with me, 50. So 60 motor, 50 RCG on non-life, on other non-life, another 50 million. So 60, 50, 50. So that is about 150 and refers back to the last quarter reserve release. In terms of life, we reported 10 million of adjustment, value adjustment. From real estate. Profitability, financial profitability overall for the group, it did not really have a very linear composition. So we reported greater income in the first three quarters because of coupon and other financial management operations. So that means that in the last quarter, and we would have exceeded performances, actually, our objectives, we've actually reduced the income target. So in life, that appears to be lower compared to what was in place for the rest of the year, so for the first three quarters. But it was actually our choice. We did not want to give up our annual objectives. So the combination of these two factors show profitability last quarter lower than the first three. Next question is from Emanuele Borghetti from Intermonte. I've got a couple of questions from my side. Cash, Unipol Holding. I'd love to understand motivations, the reasons why you want to preserve that cash for Unipol Holding. So whether there are any regulatory needs, whether that is mandatory, and whether that will be a permanent versus a temporary scenario. And so what is your expectation on that cash? And then I've got a second question, subordinate bond loan that you have authorized this morning from Unipol SAI. What type of cost do you actually foresee in the event such bond is being issued, and what is the purpose? So what is the purpose why it appears to be issued, so you want to issue that? Well, in terms of cash, Unipol Holding, and we have made a funding operation November last, 500 million. So in terms of liquidity, in terms of cash, which we've always kept preserved over the last few years as a dual objective. First of all, having that financial flexibility, which we deem to be very useful for any type of transaction that might become interesting for the group. So we've been able to increase the cash availability by, so we've been able to actually grow our stake in Unipol SAI by 12%-13%. So we perceive that to be as a very good investment, and actually that appears to be the case because that reports a positive 7%. So cash. Now the cost is around 2.7%-3%. Actually, the yield is equal 7%. So I would not actually speak about any negative carry whatsoever. Another reason why Unipol Group holds now has a position in terms of liabilities that we only execute when cost conditions are favorable to us, and that allows us to manage quite peacefully all next upcoming expiry dates in terms of debt, which we have extended further because Unipol Group has 2.5 billion approx of bonds issued already, and out of these, only 1.5 billion is coming to maturity between 2025-2027. So cash that we have in the portfolio allows us to manage all the upcoming maturity dates quite peacefully. Unipol subordinated bond, that is a different thing, the bond loan, the subordinated one. Well, we'll see what market conditions will be there. If we were doing that today, spreads are between 250 to 170 basis points. So we'll see issue date what is going to be the case for this particular type of tools, financial tools, of course. In this case, again, assessment is very much connected to the market conditions. Market today is quite favorable. The market is changing quite rapidly. And in our view, it is acceptable to date. So if market conditions allow, we will do it. We will issue. And again, you do know we have bonds, subordinated bonds coming to maturity, something that we have inherited from Fonsai through Mediobanca. So we do funding to be able to obviously be successful in paying when maturity date occurs. So there are no further questions, Mr. Cimbri, for yourself. Oh, very good. Then thank you so much for attending. Then we will speak soon, end of quarter in May. Thank you so much.